But those of you who know me have heard me say that for some years of my life, I lived in a lot of darkness. As a believer, I was actually a strong believer. I was an intercessor. I prayed a lot. I had people coming to me for help and deliverance and prayer. And yet, I myself was struggling in the emotional areas. I was pretty strong spiritually speaking, but my emotions were pretty broken. I had a broken heart. I had some very, very broken circumstances. And I'll be honest with you, I despaired. I had a great deal of despair. I despaired of life. I grew tired of life. I really wanted to just go home and be with Jesus. It was a very tough, tough season that lasted a long time. And there were a lot of things that in that season God taught me that helped me walk out of a very deep depression. I was depressed for a lot of years. I know about depression. And you may hear me say some things, and I don't want anyone to ever feel like I'm just telling them, just don't feel that way, you know, or just get over yourself. You know, I'm never saying that. I've walked through it myself. I know how difficult it can be. But one thing I found was that when I came into truth, the more truth I came into, the more free I got. And so many times the problem was that I wasn't seeing things the way God did. I wasn't understanding His truth. And because of that, I was crippled in my spiritual walk and in my emotional walk and in my relationships. So God's been giving me some stuff all week, and I've written so much that it'll be too much for tonight, so we'll probably continue it the next time. So rather than preaching on the fly, I'm actually going to use my computer tonight, so bear with me. I know that's a little different for us tonight, but it's more like my seminar kind of teaching, okay? And the reason is sometimes, I'll just explain this, sometimes when we preach by the Spirit, we're preaching into people's hearts, okay? And they kind of catch it. It's more of a preaching that you catch rather than is taught. But when you teach, you're teaching someone's understanding so that they can learn a system and retain it, okay? And so sometimes a teaching is a little bit more point by point, and it's more structured, okay? So Lord willing, we're gonna. Some people are going to get free tonight, maybe healed tonight. And I'm very excited about this because I've seen so many people who love the Lord with all their heart and mind and soul. They're totally sold out to Jesus, you know, in such a wonderful way, and yet hurting or lied to by the enemy, you know, or have a stronghold where the enemy has bound them. And so God really wants us set free so we can receive His love. Because if you're crippled, it's hard to receive love, right? Because who would love me, right? I'm broken. But God wants us to get a hold of it. So I've called this, and this is actually, we actually started this last time. We're going to continue on as long as it goes. So it'll probably end up to be a series, okay, for those of you who like to buy the evening's message. I'm just going to warn you, it'll probably be a series. So if you prefer the series, that's another option. So I'm calling it Managing Your Emotions So They Don't Manage You, basically. So emotions, one of the things, you know, emotions are not a bad thing. They're actually a gift from God for a purpose. Emotions are not wrong. Jesus had anger, if you remember, when He took the whip of cords and cleansed the temple. It was a righteous anger. There is a true anger of God that is a righteous anger. He was sorrowful unto death in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had emotions, yet it was not sin. So emotions are not a sinful thing, but they can be crippling. So they can be, what I found out is they can be your worst enemy or your best friend. In other words, emotions can cause you to want to give up, just go through the motions in a numb state. If you're dealing with things that are just too hard, you can kind of go into a state where you're just dealing with it. Some people will stay in bed. I knew a dear friend of mine fell into a deep depression. Her boyfriend was actually shot and killed. It was terrible. And she fell into a very deep depression. And for a long time, she would just call in sick to work and would never even get out of bed, you know, due to depression. Emotions can make you afraid to deal with life or deal with people. You can become so focused on your own pain that you just find it hard to even hear a message. Or what I found out is that once you start to walk in truth, emotions can cause you to know the joy of the Lord. You can actually have what's called a well of joy that's in you all the time, to where even when circumstances happen, there's still this joyfulness on your inside. You can actually be full of laughter. You can know happiness. Emotions, one of the things I like about good emotions are actually what cause us to have a drive to seek the Lord. Have you ever seen somebody that seeks the Lord with a passion, like they have such zeal for God? You know, and that is a fabulous emotion to have, because that will cause you to go into God. When Edgar first got saved, he had a zeal for God that was, he wouldn't even sleep at night. He was so hungry and thirsty to know Jesus. He wouldn't sleep. He'd have all these Bibles out in front of him, and he would talk to the Lord just for days on end, you know, because he was that hungry and thirsty. That's emotions that cause us to do that, so that's a good thing. So what I would say about it is that emotions make a good servant, but a poor master. In other words, you don't want them running your life, but you do want them helping you to motivate you to do the best thing. So an example, we see soldiers that, let's say they're in Iraq or Afghanistan or back in the days of Vietnam, when they're in active duty, they are trained to hit the ground whenever a bomb goes off, right? They hear a loud noise. They don't look around to see. They hit the deck, right? They hit the ground. Well, in wartime, that is an appropriate response. That's an emotional, trained trigger response. But when they come home, it's no longer so fitting. We actually know a family. The young man came home. He had been home for a while. He had post-traumatic stress. They had some company. They're in the living room. A car backfired, and this guy hit the deck. Because he's still responding to bombs going off. Now no longer is that quite the best response. And he's got to deal with these emotions of what he lived through in the war. We've never been to war, we cannot understand. I mean, there's no way to really understand the fullness of what happens in active war. A story I'm just going to give you. Her name is Carolyn Schapper. She came home from Iraq. She was walking down a street and saw a car parked just a little bit awkwardly. In her mind, there was an automatic trigger to say explosives, and she almost ran out into traffic. So what would have saved her life in Iraq, because she was running from explosives, now in an inappropriate situation is actually dangerous. So you can see that the same thing was good, but it's, we need to like almost reprogram, right?
Amen.
This is so fascinating to me. I've been reading up on the brain, and I was actually reading up on it, not for this message, but for something else. And what they said is, in the past 10 years, they've learned more about how our brain works than in all of history, the past 10 years. One of the things they've learned, see, brain scientists tend to be very, very analytical and fact-based, data-based. So they don't consider emotions are subjective. You know, we don't care what your emotions say. Facts are what counts. So because of that, they were discounting the part of the brain that was emotional. They weren't giving that a lot of study. And about 10 years ago, a scientist came along that said, I think we need to take a closer look at this. And what they have actually found is that emotions are an enormous part, an integral part of how your brain actually functions. When you remember something in school, when you're good at a certain subject, it is because you are emotionally more interested in it. And it's to the degree, this is fascinating to me, that if you walk into a room, your brain, you know, it controls your vision and it controls the perception of what you see. When you walk into a room, your brain will scan that room and immediately present to your mind what is the most important thing in that room, based on your emotional history. If you see something in that room that is danger, immediately that is the first thing you will see. So two people can walk in the same room and see two completely different things because of their emotional makeup. So emotions are actually part of how we function. And I laugh because I was driving down the street with a friend, and I noticed that when I look at a house, I go, oh, that porch looks like a great place to pray. That garden is so lovely. I think of, you know, meditating in the Lord, and that's what I'm thinking. And they're like, you know, they need to fix that roof. There's a broken thing over there. You know, they're like looking at all this stuff, knowing exactly what needs to be fixed. I'm like, you know, no idea. Because to me, that's not what's important. So the brain actually thinks the thing, it selects the things it thinks are more important and brings them to light. And it's emotionally subjective. Subjective means it's according to your feelings. Objective means it's according to facts, okay? So we may need to be reprogrammed. As you probably know, you know, all of us have, I'm just going to be honest, I don't think there's a person on earth, if your name isn't Jesus of Nazareth, that we haven't at some point reacted in a way where we said, why did I say that? Now I'm embarrassed. What must they think? Or why did I behave that way? Do you ever have something like that and then you're beating yourself like, why did I do that? That's pretty normal. It happens to everybody. And the reason is, what is happening there? We're acting in a manner that's inconsistent with actually what the way we want to act. We want to be like Jesus. We want to act like him. And we even mean to. And if we have a good heart towards Jesus, we want to and we're trying to. And yet, out of the blue, something happens. Could be temper, could be words, could be confusion, could be all kinds of things. And one thing that the Lord helped me understand is that there's a reason we act like we do. There's a reason we react like we do. And one of the things that helped me a lot, just to give you a little bit of history, if you're new, we have a lot of new people tonight, but for me, what turned me on to the process of being changed was that I came to understand from one of the wildest preachers you ever saw in your life. She was a Holy Ghost fireball preacher. This woman preached and there was fire, and I mean fire. And when she walked towards you, the fire of God would come upon you. I mean, if she was preaching and walked towards you. And she had had encounters with God that were so heavenly and so fiery that the impact was so profound in her ministry. And one of the things that I learned from her, we actually became friends over the years, and one of the things that I learned from her was that in order to carry the presence, which is not my message tonight, but we have a desire to more than just know him, more than just get to heaven when we die, but to actually carry the presence of God, to be able to worship and bring the presence, to release it, because it's in you. If you're born again, you have the presence of God living on the inside of you. You have the glory. But somehow we need to take what's on the inside and release it to humanity. Humanity needs to see the real and living God. The fire, the coals on the altar. They need to understand the real and living God, not some plastic imitation. And what I began to understand was that we are like a pipeline, if you will. And if our pipeline is full of stuff, wounds, and not necessarily sin, but wrong thinking, woundedness, brokenness, it is very hard for the Spirit of God to flow. But what I began to discover is that if I would proactively go after cleansing that pipe and changing who I was. Now, Jesus, I just want to say, Jesus is happy. He loves you. Whether you ever clean your pipe out or not, he loves you, you're forgiven, you're going to heaven. That's the gospel message, and thank you, Lord. But the more we free ourselves from earthly stuff, you know, brokenness and all these things, strongholds, the more we get free, the more freely we can flow in him, and the more freely we can release God to people. And then people come and they don't see. Did you ever go to a church? I'm not talking about any specific church, so don't think I am. But you ever go to a church and you just see, like, where's God in this? And there's all the format, and they may have a good sound, and they may have all the structure, but there's no presence. Where's God? Where's God in the message? Well, see, to me, why bother? I'm very practical. It's like, if God isn't, you know, if we're not going to be able to present his presence, I'm not coming. Because to me, we're meeting with God, or we're not meeting. So for me, it's all about that. Are we presenting God to people, the real and living God? And so I began to understand that if I would proactively go after some of these issues that I had, because I came to the Lord with mega issues, you would not have recognized me in my personality. I had all kinds of baggage. I was so shy and full of fear, man, I couldn't look at anybody. I was terribly insecure. I had a spirit of failure. I felt like everything, I just had no hope that I could ever do anything for God, and yet inside me I knew I was called. And I just described someone in this room that you feel like, I know I got this thing on the inside of me, it's from God, and I know it's God, but I just don't have the ability to release it. And that's what we're talking about. God wants to free you so that you're whole and complete emotionally. And you're already forgiven, okay?
Amen.
That's a done deal. But he wants to free you so you can have life and have it more abundantly. Walk in freedom. Be able to minister by the Holy Ghost without having to apologize for who you are or how you sound, okay? So freedom is awesome. But what I found is, Christians tend to say, oh, change me, God, and then they go about their business as though God's going to push some kind of button and they'll just be changed. But guess what? It doesn't work that way. When we say, change me, God, and we say, I'm really serious about it, change me, do what you got to do, God says, okay. He puts up a mirror and like pokes you with a little, allows a situation, maybe somebody that really bugs you. comes along. You get to work with someone that drives you crazy, you know, or put someone in your family or whatever, and what it's doing, and you're like praying for them to change. They need to change, hallelujah. Lord, I bring them, change them, Jesus. And he's going, what's really going on is it raises something up in us, and we go, oh. It took me a few years to understand that when somebody set off my hot button, God wasn't concerned about them. He was trying to answer my prayer, which was, Lord, change me. I'll do anything. Change me. So what he does is he allows us to see the issue and go after it with him. We cannot fix it ourselves, but he has some ways that he's taught me that are really, really helpful and fairly easy if we just do them. And so the first thing for me was, it is okay to say, I need to change. In the past, a lot of churches have taught that we're supposed to measure up to these certain outer behaviors. And they look at our outward behavior, and there's judgment and criticism if our outward behavior doesn't look right. So what we do is I've got to act like this and look like that and dress like this and behave like that. I'll put on my little plastic face and I'll do all the outward stuff. And they go, okay, you fit our mold, you're accepted. But that is so not God. Because
right.
God judges on the heart, not the outward appearance. What's going on in your heart? Sometimes the worst looking people have the best heart you ever saw. It's the truth. And God's looking at their heart and Mr. Plastic or Mrs. Plastic over there, he's like just wishing they would come to him with their heart and say, you know what, I have this thing, Lord, I don't know, I don't seem to be able to fix it. Yay, somebody's being honest. You know, it's a thrill to him. He's not mad. He loves that. You're accepted in Christ whether you ever get your stuff fixed or not, but your life, I believe, both here on earth and in the heavenlies, will be so much better if you deal with your stuff. So there's actually two things we're gonna talk about. Some of them we won't get to till the next time, but I'm gonna call it like two. There's two pieces to this. Eventually, we're gonna talk about some methods that will get you free in a permanent way from one thing at a time. Okay. When I say that, there are some pieces of what I thought were my personality that have been so unhooked, so delivered, so set free, that I truly don't remember what that was like, don't remember what it felt like. It is truly gone permanently. God did that as he worked with me. And for me, the goal, and I never stop. I'm just going to tell you, I never stop. If I see something in me that's like, ooh, ding, 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 that's not quite right. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm a minister, so we're stopping this process. No, for the rest of my life, if I say something and I go, wait a minute, where did that come from? What caused me to behave like that? I stop right there and say, Lord, is there something we want to deal with? Is there something going on here? And I stop and I deal with it. And for me, this is a lifestyle. But I will tell you, I told you earlier I had come from depression, despair, suicidal thoughts, a hopeless failure life. And I have become truly one of the happiest people I know. I am truly one of the most joyful people. I wouldn't trade places with anyone on earth. I mean, I'm really genuinely happy. Does that mean I don't have trouble? No, I had all kinds of trouble. I do. I do. If some of you knew some of the trouble in my life, you'd be like, oh my gosh, that's trouble. You know? But you know what? I've been set free enough that I can walk in joy. And the other good news is, as you walk with the Lord over years, you kind of come to know that he will come through. When he says he's going to be there for you, he is. So the first few times, it's scary, but after he comes through every time, you finally get to like, you know what? I don't have to worry about this. He said he's going to come through. He always does, and he's going to come through this time. I don't have to carry that burden anymore. And there's a great joy and a freedom in being able to walk with God like that over the years, okay? So that's the long-term thing God wants us to know, is that we can actually change the landscape of our emotional nature. We can be set free from strongholds. And that's not a dirty word. Ooh, sounds like a Christian's going to have demons. Well, you know what? I've seen some that have certainly got them in their space. Okay? Now, are they possessed? No, we're not getting into that. But I will tell you that I have been delivered. Yeah, from strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's something that's got such a grip on you that you feel like, you know, a lot of devils, you command them to go, you make them go, and they go. A stronghold, sometimes you have to unhook some stuff because there's a stronghold. You got to deal with it. Now, in the meantime, the other parallel track to that is, what do we do in the meantime? Because that process of getting free takes a little while. You know, when I first found out about it, I was hungry for the presence of God, and I literally would have done anything. I was praying prayers like, Lord, I'll die on any cross. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about earth stuff. I don't care about houses. I don't care about any of that. I used to have all kinds of earthly dreams, things I wanted to do. Once I encountered the glory, the real glory of God, I'm telling you, none of this stuff matters. It's all junk. And for me, all of it just faded into nothing. You know, the things of this world grow strangely dim, right? And that's what happened to me. And so I began to say, I've got to have your presence. I've got to be in your presence. I've got to know your presence. I've got to know you're with me. And what is delightful is when you get to that place, you are always aware of his presence. You are always aware of hearing the voice of God. You are always aware of being able to converse with him. You are always aware that he loves you, even when you make a mistake. I wasn't always like that. I used to be guilt-ridden, and in fact, one of the strongholds that I had was condemnation. Lived in it. When God set me free and then taught me the truth, I came into such a place of truth that even if I blew it, I am aware of his love. So guess what? I don't waste any time worrying about bad me. Oh, I'm such a bum. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You see, because that's a trick of the enemy, isn't it? And see, as a minister, you don't have that kind of time. What if you blow it on Sunday afternoon at 5:02 and you got to minister at 6? What are you going to do? Walk around with your face in your shoes till you get it together? No, you have to have a revelation that he is with you. And I will tell you the truth. I've come here at times when I remember being under attack so bad I couldn't breathe, couldn't stand, couldn't function. And I said, I am not giving into this. I'm going. And God would just show up. Nothing I did right, you see. But it's because we've developed a relationship, okay? So having said all that, once I got excited about the glory, I went on a, you know, with a vengeance after I am going to be changed. You know, one thing at a time, man, I'm going after this. And began to really seek the Lord to be changed into his image and to get free. Well, that takes some time, to be honest. Emotional healing takes time. That takes a process. So what do you do in the meantime when, you know, your emotions are reacting? Maybe there's stuff going on at your house or your family or at work. You know, how do you handle that in the meantime? What do you do in the meantime? And so we're going to talk about a lot of different things. You can actually, there's actually some techniques you can do to cause your emotions to go along with you. Now, this is a strange thing, but your emotions are actually followers. A lot of people have let their emotions grow so big that their emotions lead them and guide them and drive them. So instead of being, and I used to be like that, instead of being led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says if we're led by the Spirit of God, we shall be called the sons of God. A lot of people are led truly by their emotions. Their emotions drive their decisions. They drive who they marry, and then later on they're stuck with icky, creepy spouse head because they made an emotional decision because somebody was cute. Okay, but God didn't pick them. Oh, did I really say that out loud? So we have to be very careful to be led by the Spirit of God, because that's what Jesus was. That's how Jesus did what he did. Everything he did, he was led by the Spirit of God. So we need to become a people who are led by the Spirit and not by our emotions. So our emotions can drive us if we've been letting them go. You know, they're like emotions are kind of like a little bratty kid. Did you ever see a little bratty kid? Mm-hmm. If you let them continue in it, they will get worse. Amen. If you give them boundaries, they will work within those boundaries. And they'll test them. They'll keep testing them. Well, guess what? Your emotions are just like that. Here's what I discovered. Your emotions actually listen to you. If you wake up and you're feeling bum or down or low, the first thing you want to do is say something about it or talk about it or complain about it, or, you know, you want to talk about it. That's your want to, because your emotions want to express themselves. But I have actually found that if you speak the word of God, that's why it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, of a good report, meditate on these things, speak these things. What happens is your emotions go, oh, really? Oh, okay. They're not real bright. Emotions are not real bright. You can actually tell them, boy, what a great day. Man, I feel good. And your emotions will actually go, oh, try it. If you don't believe me, try it. It takes fortitude the first time, but it's actually the truth. So you can actually learn some, in the meantime, techniques to manage your emotions so they're not running you and not damaging people. So we're actually going to talk about how to work through some of our issues, which might be wounds, past memories. Some people have past memories that God's just going to gently cleanse away. A false belief system. We're going to talk about what that means. When a false belief system is when you've actually believed a lie. I'll give you an example. A spirit of rejection. You've heard about people talk about rejection. Rejection can be a stronghold. It can be a false spirit, but a lot of times it's hooked to the lie of nobody wants to be around me. Well, that's a lie. I want to be around you. It's not the truth. The enemy will, when especially, loves to get a hold of kids and put a false belief system in their head. And the problem with a false belief system is you think it's true, so you don't deal with it because you don't see it as a lie. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to tell us, excuse me, that's not what's true. This is what's true, okay? So believing a lie is really deadly. We react, a lot of times we're still reacting to our spouse. I mean, our past. Like, I'm going to give you an example that involves a spouse. I said that wrong. So let's say you had a former relationship where you were abused or hit or cheated on or something. Let's say you move along out of that into a new relationship, but your heart isn't fully healed. This person says something. They're totally innocent. They have nothing to do with that, but you react because, you guess what? You're afraid of getting hurt again. Your heart is like, you know, shields up, you know, swords out. And you're going to react, and your poor person you're in the relationship is like, what did I do? What did I say? They might be totally innocent, but we're still responding to what happened, you know, 5 years ago. Some of you heard my story where I was acting in a peculiar manner, and here's how I know something's wrong. When I behave or speak in a manner that's out of character with my real personality, and I do something, and it's like you're going along doing real good, and then all of a sudden, you know, or you react, and it's like, where did that come from? That's not like me. That's usually a signal. Something is a little bit, you either have something going on. Again, remember, God is not mad at you. He wants to help you because He wants you free. He wants you whole in your heart. So a lot of times we're reacting to stuff. And I started to tell you, I was in a situation where I was actually in the church office, and I was acting. I got under stress that was not, there was no reason to be stressful. And I started to like try to hurry the guy up, hurry up, you know. And he's like, oh, all right, I can see you want me to go away so you can do your work. And I remember thinking, I'm being rude to the pastor. And I remember thinking, why did I act like that? So later on, I went out to the car and I said, Lord, what was with that? Why did I act like that? And instantly, so often with me, He'll give me a little memory flashback. I had a flashback of a job I had 22 years earlier. And in that job, the man that was in authority over me was kind of mean, hated to be interrupted or bothered, and there was always a terrible pressure because I was only 19 and he was like, you know, I was afraid, still afraid of people in those days. And I would go in there to ask a question and it was always a disaster. He just was not a nice person. I was still reacting to this man 22 years later. I was still reacting to that guy. And God, all it took to get free was God showed me the little flashcard in my mind. Oh, okay, I'm still reacting to that guy. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I repent. First of all, that's the fear of man, and you've said that's not to be part of my life. In the name of Jesus, I break that off in the name of Jesus, and I've never had that again. See, sometimes it's so simple because we unhook from one thing and hook to the truth. Okay, sometimes it's a lie that you've believed. If you grew up in a house where you were belittled and God hasn't healed you yet, sometimes you'll carry around an actual belief system. First of all, you're going to expect people to belittle you. And sometimes someone will say something that isn't belittling, but you take it that way. Right. I work with a dear friend, and I don't know his story, but we're on the same team, so we would often be copied on the same emails. These are work emails. Someone might send an email, say, did you get that report done yet? And I would read it like, did you get the report done yet? And he would read it like, did you get the report done yet? He would always read it as though the person was belittling him and was angry. And forever I would be explaining, no, they're not mad, they just don't, you know, they just need a status. But this guy was wounded, and because of it, he was reading into things that weren't really there. I mean, believe me, if they're saying that, you know, they don't have a problem telling them. So a lot of times we're reacting to stuff that isn't really the truth. Now, what does God really want to do? He wants to make us whole, because he certainly does not belittle us. That is certainly not how God sees us. But if we think he does, we even see God sometimes in this light as though he's up there with a big stick ready to bop you one because you screwed up. Well, that's just a lie from the pit. That's what the enemy wants you to think about God, but it is absolutely not the gospel message. And God would love to just unhook all that, take all that out so that you understand and know him. Okay? So we could call that filters or wearing the wrong pair of glasses. We're looking at life through some glasses that have murky on them. I had to clean Edgar's glasses. See, now you can actually see his eyes, but there was some hairspray on his glasses. And I was like, I need to wash those. I'm embarrassed. You know, so when we got here, I actually took his glasses off. See, but that's how glasses or filters can be. If we're looking through some lenses that have all our past stuff on there, we're not going to see straight. And it's certainly hard for our heart to operate right. How can we go before God, get in his presence, operate in his glory, if we have a belief system that he thinks the same thing that some meanie thought, or if he's mad at us because we don't measure up to this perfect standard? One of the worst things I think parents can do is demand perfection. You know, I mean, sometimes parents make their children get straight A's, and in some ways you might think, well, that's really good, they're teaching them discipline, but a lot of times those kids grow up and struggle because there's always this big yardstick that they're being measured by. They're always being measured. And even when nobody's around, they're measuring themselves and everybody else by this fake yardstick. And God wants to take, if you have a yardstick of measurement that you're measuring yourself or measuring other people, God wants to take that thing and break it. Because his ways are not our ways. His standards are not our standards. God doesn't look at you according to some yardstick. The only yardstick he has, none of us measured up. Nobody. Ever, except for Jesus. And then God said, free gift, perfection. And you say, but I'm not perfect. No, not in your outward man, but your born again spirit is absolutely perfect and in the image of Christ. And that's what God sees when he looks at you. You've been given that righteousness. So when I talk about having an issue from your past, it could be a relationship, it could be a church, it could be a pastor, it could be work, it could be anything that caused you duress or caused you to take on a defense, okay? And here's one of the things about wounding. Sometimes if that actually caused a broken heart, if you actually had a brokenheartedness, sometimes what we do, you know, we have to get through life. You know, if you have a job, you go to work, you got to put on the face and go to work. You know, you can't be like boo-hoo all day. You got to just deal with it. And so what a lot of times happens is we have to contend with life. We actually develop a bit of a, almost like a callus over our heart that's a shield of protection because we don't want to be hurt anymore, right? But here's what I've seen. A lot of times when we have this shield or callus over our heart, we cannot hear from God. And so many times when people, it's not always the reason. Sometimes people come to the altar and say, I can't hear from God. I really want to hear from God. Not always, but sometimes it's because there's been a callus that is built over their heart to protect them. And because of that, even God is having a hard time getting through. Okay? Now God says he wants to circumcise our hearts afresh and anew. And here's the good thing about God. We can trust him with a knife. We can trust God to get on the operating table and say, okay, I trust you, you're my surgeon, go ahead. I trust you, you're only going to do what's the best for me. So using the methods that I'm going to talk about, God has actually helped me to remove some of these emotional triggers, which means I can be happy regardless of outward circumstances. When I went through a very hard time, I remember saying to God, when am I ever going to come out on the other side? He said, I never told you there was another side. He said, I told you I would teach you how to walk in victory in it. I would teach you how to be not moved. See, Jesus had more trouble than any of us. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew what they were going to do. He read Isaiah. He read Psalms. He knew it. He knew what they were going to do, and he knew how brutal it was. And he knew who would be doing it, and he died for them willingly. He had trouble. He was treated horribly. He cast out demons by the prince of devils. What a terrible thing to say. But you know what I notice about Jesus? And he's the one that helped me to see healing when people came against me. He helped me to see that he was able to not be moved at all. He wasn't moved at all. It didn't matter to him. He loved people and he had a purpose. He was born for a purpose. And guess what? So were you. But Jesus knew his. And that was his focus all the days of his life. I have a purpose. I'm going to do it. He said, how I am straitened until it is accomplished. I'm going to do what I was born to do. And these people like me and these people don't. Some people wanted to make him a king, remember? Others hated him, you know. Jesus just kept right on going. He had something to do, and so do you. And all these things that want to push us one way or another, really, the truth of the matter is, it's about the enemy trying to get you pushed off your course. Okay? And emotions is one of the biggest things that he uses to get us pushed off of our course in life. If you give in to your emotions and you start to get spiraling in your emotional whatevers, is you'll miss your purpose and your call. So the good news is, when God frees you, you're more free to be happy. You'll still have circumstances. Stuff will still happen. You know, it happens. But you don't have to respond to it. It doesn't have to own you. It doesn't have to own your behavior. You don't have to give in to it. You don't have to get all sad. Because here's the thing, if we believe the truth, we know God's going to come, we're going to come out better. All things work together for good to them who love God. And see, one of the things I found out is that if I hold on to God in faith, he will take lemons and turn them into lemonade every single time. Amen. He knows how to do it. And I've had some real lemons in my life. I've had some lemons so icky I can't even talk about them in public. All right? So I've had some lemons, but I've watched God take those things and turn them into his glory and bless me and use those very things that the enemy tried to kill me with and turn them to good. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as I told you, I've come a long way, but I'm still not there. I want to tell you that all of us should be in process, so there's no shame about, oh, I need to change, or oops, I think I still have a stronghold. Oh my gosh, help, pray for me. You know, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. It's okay to go to somebody saying, you know, I'm struggling with an issue, a temptation, and whatever. It's okay. You know, because if we were all really honest, come on. We've all had moments. So if I do still have a situation where I don't react properly, I stop, I take it to the Lord and I say, is there something we need to deal with? Is this a red flag that I have a problem? And if it is, help me see what is the problem, what's the root of it, and help me unhook it. And usually, most times it can be something so quick, and then it's such a blessing because now that's no longer an issue for you. I think this is what Paul meant when he said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Isn't that amazing? You think about Paul, when he was going to go before Caesar, he knew that it was very likely that they were going to kill him. They'd already killed Jesus. He knew that that was part of what Caesar did. He killed people. By the masses, masses and masses of crucifixions. I think I shared this once before, but when the slaves tried to escape Rome, about a third of Romans were owned slaves. Rome was they had like kind of a system there that involved a lot of slavery. And when the slaves tried to go free, they crucified them down the road. They said about 250 miles. So that would be like getting in the car and driving to southern Illinois and about 4 or 5 hours in the car going 55 or 60 miles an hour. Crucified, crucified, crucified. So Paul understood these things. You know, he knew this is what he's going to stand for. But if you read his conversation when he goes before the court, you know what Paul was thinking about? That guy's soul. Mm-hmm. He's ministering to the guy. His focus was so on getting the person saved, so on talking about Jesus and who he was. His emotions had been so renewed and so reprogrammed, he couldn't be depressed at the thought that they might kill him. Imagine that. He wasn't moved. And see, that's what's thrilling to me. So if I find an issue or behavior pattern myself, here's good news. Don't beat yourself up about it. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to go into a spiral, beat yourself up. I'm a crumb. Oh, Lord, I can't talk to you. That's what the enemy actually wants you to do, okay? I also, though, don't justify it and just, well, God forgave me, so it's okay for me to continue in that. I don't like that either, because then we aren't changed. I want to be like Jesus. So my solution, at least for me, is to say, okay, I'm not going to justify it and pretend it doesn't exist, because that's what a lot of people do. I'm good, we're good, I'm good, we're good. But really, we need to deal with it. So for me, I take it to the Lord knowing that He loves me and ask Him to help me work it out by His grace, as I believe in permanent change. So for me, the goal became to be steadfast and immovable, okay? To be more and more free of ungodly reactions, emotions, thoughts, and behavior. Like I said, I'm not there yet, but I'm sure nothing like I used to be. Because we want to be not easily moved. Jesus was not moved by what happened to Him. He was not moved by what was said to Him. He operated in the Spirit no matter what they said. Did you ever notice sometimes they'd come and ask one question and He'd answer something else? Because He was in the Spirit. He knew what they needed to hear, not what they thought they wanted to hear. Now, this process can take some time, but to me it's worth doing. It's one of the most important things we can do. So the reason I want to talk about, I said there's kind of two tracks, the long-term change and then how do we do with it in the meantime. The reason is, if you all you know about is how to do the long-term change, you might feel like it's too hard to live through today's trials. Or this is taking forever. But the rewards are very huge. You're free to help others then. Free to encounter difficult people. Some of the stuff I'm going to talk about will also help you understand why someone's mean to you. Somebody lashes out, and if you don't know what's going on in their heart, you may be tempted to lash back. But a lot of times people are lashing out at you because they're broken and they've been hurt and they're just trying not to get hurt themselves. And if you can see past that and minister life to them, you can heal them and heal your relationship. And conversely, if all you know is how to deal with today's issues, you might not realize there is a way to be completely changed in an area or totally set free in an area where your hot buttons are actually gone or the reactions are gone. So a key, I said this earlier, but one of the main keys is we cannot fix it ourselves. I think one of the biggest things we do, we look at our laundry list of all our faults and we want to be changed, but we try to fix it. And here's the thing. If somebody says to you, don't feel that way, or, well, just don't sin, sometimes that actually makes it worse. Because then we come under a law of, I've got to do this, I'm making this happen. And sometimes that actually keeps us from the very thing God wants to do. What I found is that if we simply go to God and say, help me to walk through this process, help me to get free, help me to be healed in my heart, He never says no. He will always help us. Another thing that I found is that most of us have kind of layers of issues. We may see all these issues and we may feel like, I just want to be changed, Lord. But what God will do, He knows what things needs to go first. Because the more that He peels off a layer, the easier it is to get to your heart. Okay. So when I started my process, and it must have been by the grace of God, because there was no such thing as inner healing ministry that I knew of. There was no such thing as a deliverance ministry. But somehow I knew that God wanted to deliver me one thing at a time. I just knew. And so I would get in the car every day and on my way to and from work and say, what do you want to deal with today? What do you do? What? And He would actually either give me like a flash memory of something, or He would speak a name of something, a stronghold, an attitude. It might not be a stronghold. It might just be an attitude that I had. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I have that attitude. And then what would happen is I'd take it before Him. I'd pray in the Spirit. And I would get released. If it took a day, fine. If it took 10, 30, I didn't care. But I began to see my personality, which I thought was my personality, change to a degree where I became really a different person. Able to stand and preach where before I couldn't look a person in the eye. You know, couldn't share anything about the Lord. Now I could stand. It wouldn't matter if it was 10,000 people. It wouldn't bother me. I would just stand and do it. Now that's freedom. I didn't have that, you know.